Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Strange Familiars. If you've seen a cryptid like Bigfoot, we want to hear your story. If you've seen a UFO or an alien, we want to hear your story. If you've seen a ghost or anything paranormal, we want to hear your story. You can email us, strangefamiliarspodcast@gmail.com. Good evening, Allison.
Good evening. To the full moon.
Is it?
Maybe. I don't know, is it March?
Everything's a blur. Everything is a blur during this.
I think
this.
It might be somehow close to the full moon. We enjoyed a much-needed break from the 90-plus.
Yes, it's just been brutal. The weather's just been brutal. A little break today. Well, tonight, we're going way back into the heady days of June. I was on Sasquatch Chronicles with Josh, talking about our book, mm-hmm. Where the Footprints End. Wes was nice enough to have us on. But before our show, he played a preview on the episode before. So he played a little preview of me talking about Where the Footprints End and some weird stuff associated with Bigfoot. And then he went into this encounter, as he does. I'm listening to this encounter. The guy sees a Bigfoot, and he says he sees it in York County.
Yeah, I'm like, wait, that's our Bigfoot.
Right? So I thought, like, for a second, I thought, Wes did that on purpose. Like, he paired me with that guy.
Yeah, but
like,
he doesn't remember where everyone's from,
well,
I wouldn't
well,
imagine.
Well, I think he knows where I'm from, yeah. At least. And so I shot him a message. I said, hey, did you do that on purpose? And he said, no. He said, it was a complete coincidence. I said, well, that's my neck of the woods. I said, is there any way you can put me in contact with this witness? And this is not something that Wes normally does. I said, just give the witness my information and leave it up to him. You know, mm-hmm. If he wants to contact me, I'd love to talk to him. I do try to document every Bigfoot sighting in York County. That's kind of what I'm trying to do historically and up through now. That's one of the things I want to do is just document literally every Bigfoot sighting in York County. So Wes was nice enough to put the witness in contact with me. And the witness was nice enough to meet me at the location where he saw this Bigfoot
creature. Which is not particularly close to where he lives. I mean, he really did travel some distance to meet you there.
He lives in Baltimore. So he came, and this is northern York County where he had his sighting. So he drove quite a way. It was very nice of him to meet me there. So I want to thank Wes for putting me in contact with Scott, the witness. You should check out Wes's interview as well with him. Check out every episode of Sasquatch Chronicles. It's one of my favorite podcasts. I absolutely love Wes and Sasquatch Chronicles. And I want to thank Scott for meeting me out there as well, because, again, he drove a long way to meet me out there. I have to say he was an absolutely fantastic and completely open and convincing witness. I have no doubt that he was telling me the truth.
Mm-hmm.
The way he described it, I wish I could have filmed it, really, because he was showing me the way it moved and him not being from around here.
Mm-hmm.
he would have had to take weeks to scout out a place that matched the description that he gave Wes, you know, if he was making up a story.
Yeah, and he did contact the police, and there was another person involved that saw it at the same time.
Yeah.
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 But this was another one of those stories, kind of like the one I said was kind of a turning point for me, where someone came up to you and told you their story and was so deeply affected that it really changed my mind about what people are seeing. And this is a very similar kind of interview in that when I even just listening to it the second time, I was like, whoa, this guy saw something.
Yeah. You know, he seems very honest. Let me say that. You know,
yeah, he seemed incredibly genuine.
I think I'm a pretty good judge of character. But beyond
that...
He's
been hanging around with me for a long time, so who knows?
Beyond that, if you listen, he will come back to certain details in the interview and reference them again, and they're consistent every time. And that's what I noticed when I was editing it. Mm-hmm. I was like, wow, he came back and he actually, you know, referenced that again.
And it's natural. It's not like, I mean, on occasion, like, it'll almost seem as if people are reading from some sort of formulaic thing, like, oh, and then this happened, and then this happened, and you're like, whether it's real or not, you just wonder how much of that is, like, a firmly ingrained memory or something they either embellished or are laying on top of something else. But this seemed entirely natural, like, he could show you the place and tell you what happened at every distinct moment of the whole experience. And he was palpably afraid.
He wasn't super happy about being there.
Yeah.
This was, I think, 2 weeks after he had a sighting. Maybe a week and a half. So it was very soon after he had a sighting. Mm-hmm. Pretty awesome to be there and to be on site and have him describe this to me. Now, before I play this interview, I will say, there's a lot of traffic.
You really were on site.
This was a roadside sighting. Mm-hmm. You're going to hear a lot of traffic noise. We're talking loud on the interview because we're talking over the traffic and so forth.
And the place where he actually saw it was kind of private property close to this road, right?
Right.
So
yeah,
there is a rural component to it. It's just not accessible.
Exactly. Yeah. This is kind of a busy road that cuts through this rural area. He had pulled off the side. He saw this creature kind of down in a gully. So hopefully the traffic noise isn't too bothersome. You were listening as I edited it, and you said it didn't seem to bother you too much.
No, if anything, I felt like I could really imagine what it was like to be there.
That's there. Sometimes it happens. That's the good and the bad about doing on-site stuff. Sometimes you get the background noise. Sometimes it's nice crickets, and sometimes it's loud cars.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and go to this interview with Scott. After we talk about Bigfoot, Scott was a paranormal investigator, still is, and we talk a little bit about some of the investigations he did, and he tells a pretty cool story about one particular investigation as well. So there's more than Bigfoot in here. All right, so we're here talking with Scott at the sighting, or the spot where he had his sighting. So were you going this direction?
Yes, I was going this direction. And again, as I passed over the bridge, probably towards the end of the railing is where I parked my truck.
Okay.
Just so I can see.
On the other side?
On the other side, correct. Okay. I'm not sure if this is east, west.
Yeah, I'm a little... This is a little further north than this is right on the northern edge of the
yes,
county.
Yes.
So I'm in the southern part usually.
Okay.
So what did you see? And did you see something as you were coming this way?
As I was traveling this way, if you see that, it's a tree, but it's a smaller tree that's right there.
Yeah.
There was something leaning to the side of it.
Okay.
And again, my first thought was, wow, look at this bear. That's a huge bear. So you know what? Let me pull over. Let me get a chance to look at this bear. And as I was saying, I left my phone because I just wanted to hurry up and get out there. I wasn't thinking about my phone.
Right.
Now, I don't know if it would be easier for you if we walked down to where I was actually looking at. Because, again, this was just a brief moment seeing it, and then I passed through and then had to come back. So
yeah, I'd like to do that.
Okay,
yeah.
Sweet. Seeing it the first time in the truck, that was the first time I had seen it. So as I went through this little small opening here, I saw it again, and it seems like it got bigger. And I said, you know what? I think I'm going to pull over, and I think I'm going to see what this thing is.
Huh.
Keeping in mind that my mind said it's a bear. It's no other.
See, I think on Sasquatch Chronicles you said, could you have said reverse the numbers, 283 instead of 382?
When I told you I was in a place, I had totally reversed the numbers.
Yeah.
Now this is
because that's a little bit further south, and I was looking around there. I'm like, where was he? And I right. could not figure it out.
I remember touching this pole. You can actually stop right here. I remember touching this, and I came and got it right here. So okay. If you look at this little opening,
oh, okay,
behind me,
yeah,
that's where it was, and it had its back to us. Meanwhile, I'm like this. I'm saying, what is? And there's no traffic here. Nobody's driving around. When I did this, I saw the other. He was driving a blue Honda, I believe. He pulled over right behind my truck and runs over here, saying, man, did you see that? And I said, absolutely, I saw it from there. And I said, and it's right here. So again, we're looking at this thing. And by the way, if you have any questions, you know, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but as we're looking, it's still squatted. It's basically like this.
Wow.
And I'm saying, that thing is huge. And I could tell that it was doing something. I couldn't tell what it was doing, but it's like, it really wasn't paying attention to us. So as he came over let's just say his name is Gary. As Gary comes over, he's looking and he's like, what is that? And I said, I have no idea. He was kind of loud. And the way I try to explain it is if you walk into a room or walk into some place where someone is not supposed to be, their body motion is, okay.
Right.
This thing's body language, it got here and was just kind of like, and it started standing up. So as it started standing up, I noticed the bottom. First of all, I'm looking at the arms. The arms from the back were massive. It looks like a bodybuilder. That's the best way I can describe it. If you're looking at I was looking at his hands. Because I'm trying to say, okay, is this human? Is this somebody in a suit? As a human, if you're squatting and you go to stand up, your hands are going to come with you.
Yeah.
Which means they're going to be above your knee.
Right.
Whatever this thing was, of course I didn't know at the time, when it stood up, his hands never moved. He just kept going up.
Oh, wow.
And his hands were right below his knees. And at that point in time, that's when Gary said, that's no effing bear.
Wow.
And my mindset is still, okay, whoa moment is, okay, is this somebody in a suit? Is somebody playing a joke? What is this thing? And I'm looking at this thing. Now, again, when it stands up, it's still got his back to us. Mm-hmm. And if you can just picture a clock, which is the way I tried to describe it. If you picture a clock, it went from 12 to 1. When it turned to 1 o'clock, I knew then that it wasn't a bear, it wasn't a human, it wasn't an ape, whatever it was massive.
Wow.
Absolutely massive. When it stood
up. So this is by that tree down there the whole time?
The entire time. It's right there to the right of the tree. I'm jumping ahead of myself a little bit.
It's okay.
When the officer came, I pointed to the tree and I said, look, if you see, because as a matter of fact, it's still there. I said, if you see that top branch to the right, that's the tallest.
Okay.
If you go over across from that, there's a small little opening. That's how tall that thing was. To me, from here, that looks like that's about 8.5, 9 foot tall.
That is.
Again, I'm looking
at least,
the tree.
I'd say at least.
I'm looking at the tree and I was trying, and I told him, I said, look, that's how tall that thing was. And all of a sudden,
wow.
So you're telling me. And I said, yes, I'm telling you. So again, when it turned to the 1 o'clock, that's when I saw its left hand. There was something in his left hand. I'm thinking, okay, I don't know if that's a dog or a goat. Whatever it was deceased. It was black. It had a little bit of brown on it. When it turned to, when it was at the 1 o'clock, it came from around the tree. So you could see whatever it was dangling. And the neck was broken, obviously, because it was draped over the left fingers.
Wow.
So the thing is standing there like this. It hasn't moved. It's just kind of standing there. I'm thinking, oh my God, what is this? You know, we're still kind of sitting there looking. At that time, we're kind of like, I'm in shock. I'm still thinking, big man in a suit, what is this thing? It turned to 2 o'clock. Now, I can't quite describe the movement of this thing because it was just freaky. But if this is 12, this one, it turned, God, I feel like I want to do a breakdance move or something. It turned to 2 o'clock and just kind of head and shoulder kind of looked directly at us. And I'm like, at that point in time, I knew, because when I'm looking at the face, it's Neanderthal. Mm-hmm. It's the only thing I could think of. And I'm thinking, oh my God. And when it turned, it made a noise like through its snout or through its nose. kind of like reminiscent of a bull.
Okay, you know, it just, like a snort kind of.
Like a snort, but it was loud. It was like a, okay, so we're both still looking. When it made that noise, again, we're at 2 o'clock. It turns towards us, takes the thing in its left arm. I'm not going to drop the way it did because, again, as I explained before, I cannot describe the drop-down movement of this thing. It was almost like a transformer, and it got down. I tried to describe it one way. If you're a human and you drop down to do a push-up, you take your right and left arm and put it to the side of you as far as you can go. You take your legs and spread them out as wide as you can where you almost look like the letter X.
Okay.
That's what this thing looked like when it went down. Because, again, it's right there in the weeds as if to say, I'm going to drop down so it doesn't see us.
Okay.
And I'm like, we're looking because it's jet black. And it's, again, right there to the right side of the tree. It drops down on all fours. And I'm telling him, when he did that, I said, get your phone, grab your phone.
Right,
I wouldn't have had time to run to the end of this railing and come back. I said, grab your phone. He's looking at me this way. He goes to his pocket. He gets it. He pulls his phone out. When I tell you that whatever this thing was took off like a jet, it went from the prone position in one move. It went, shoot, gone. I mean, and it went that way. So you can almost see like a trail when it went. It booked towards that way.
Wow.
Blink of an eye, that thing was gone. Never in my life, whether it be TV, I've never seen anything that big move that fast. Never in my life. So, you know, the one thing, of course, I forgot to tell, which again, I'm not ashamed to say, it did take its, when it turned around towards us and did the thing up under his arm, it took its right fist and slammed it into the ground. I mean, you could hear it.
Ooh.
At the time, there was water there.
Mm-hmm.
But he was like, whatever it was on the edge of the water, it took its fist. Boom! I mean, you could necessarily feel it, but you could hear it. It was, you know, reverberating like a boom. At that point in time, I lost my body functions. I urinated on myself. It was like, because it gave us a look as if to say, here I come.
Right.
And we're here. And I'm thinking, okay, if this thing decides to go through all of this, there's nothing I'm going to be able to do. My truck is there. This guy's car is in front of mine.
Oh.
We're both going to be goat human food, whatever you want to call
it. Right.
So again, when it did that, I lost my body functions. I'm telling the guy, get your phone. The thing turns, gets up, of course, from the little squatter position, gets up and just jets. I've never seen anything. It was kind of a creepy transformer type cheetah on steroids, whatever you want. It took off immediately. And the only thing he saw when he looked up was the trees. That's the only thing. Because
wow.
There was no wind. There was nothing. There was no wind out
so
here.
So it covered that ground that quickly.
When I say, was it 4 seconds? Because it hit the ground. I got scared. I looked at it. It got up. Because when he did that, I said, get your phone. When I looked back, the back of it was, I'm trying to see if I can get a, okay, you see that tree that's in the back? It's like a bush, almost looks like this.
Okay, yeah.
That's where its back was when I said, get your phone. I turned around and that's where its back was.
Wow.
I said, holy, so now you start,
wow.
You start asking yourself, did I see this?
Sure.
Did I see
what
I think I saw? Because nothing that big is supposed to, first of all, you're not supposed to see anything that big.
Right.
That thing.
Not in Pennsylvania, yeah.
Pennsylvania, I mean, unless you're traveling to the moon.
Right.
You're not going to see anything that big, number one. Number two, you're not going to see something that big move that fast. That thing was the fastest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Wow. Yeah, that's incredible.
It was absolutely mind-blowing.
Now, just to clarify, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I've talked to a lot of witnesses. When you talk about the way it moved, was it like super smooth? Is that?
It was, when you say move, you meant run away or the drop?
Yeah, like when it was running.
When it ran away, it didn't look as though, you know what? I got a perfect explanation. It looked as though it was on one of those, oh my God, see, now I'm bringing up movies. They use this prop in a movie. It's like a moving, like the ground is moving, like you see at an airport. When you go to the airport.
Yeah.
I don't know what those things are called.
Like a treadmill or something. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. basically like a treadmill he was on and running at the same time.
Or a moving sidewalk. So smooth like that.
Very, very smooth. It's almost like when I actually turned and I saw it, it almost looked like it was gliding. I don't know how else to...
No, that's what other people say. They say it's almost like they're skiing or something.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, they just go zoom.
I mean, it just... When it dropped, when it picked that thing up and turned, it was...
Wow.
And all you could see, again, by the time he looked up, all you saw was the trees. And I'm like, okay, maybe he ducked down. Because I didn't see him go through the trees. I'm thinking... Uh-huh. I saw it take off initially. I was like, get your phone. Look back, and it was gone.
Wow.
You've got to be kidding me. So that gave me the mindset of I could either stay here and figure out what I saw, or I can get to my truck. Because if that thing decides, you know what, I'm going to go back and get there. There's absolutely nothing we could have done.
Right.
We would have been stuck here saying, oh, my God, that thing would have had us in a split second.
Yeah.
A split second. So, yeah, as far as the movement, very, very smooth. Very smooth. You didn't hear anything.
Wow. So again, before, because I thought it was further south, I was like, how does this compute up here, further north here?
Uh-huh.
I've taken a ton of Bigfoot sightings around
right?
here. A ton of them.
So.
Yeah. Okay. I got a guy probably as the crow flies, he's probably 3 miles that way.
Okay.
And he's seen him on his property multiple times. He called me, he's like, you don't think I'm crazy? I said, what? And he told me a story about seeing him. And I went out to his house the day after he saw him. He had a pond on his property, and he saw two of them across the pond. He was spotlighting for deer, and he caught them.
Oh, my God.
And he wouldn't even go across the pond. He said, I'm not going over there. You can go over there. I'm not going over there. So, all right.
Well, upon looking at it, I don't blame him because, again, you know, one little small thing I forgot to mention. When it did turn and look at us, I think I described it to Wes. It looked as though someone had taken pillows and just shut, you know, if you take two pillows and put
right.
them up under your shirt,
yeah.
there's a barrel look.
Wow.
He turned around, and first of all, the shoulders were 4 feet across. I mean, easy.
Oh, wow.
From the back. When it turned, it was almost just as, his chest was just as big this way. And I'm like, that reminds me of an Arnold Schwarzenegger with the size of Andre the Giant.
Right,
you combine the two. Chest was huge. Arms was massive.
Wow.
And the back was that of a V. That's the best way I can. It kind of started up at the top at 4 feet and probably narrowed down to about 2.5 to 3 foot.
Wow.
So the thing was this way. I mean, just massive.
Oh, man.
I said, oh my God, look at the size of this thing. Absolutely incredible
wow.
beast.
And what time of day was this?
This was 9:30 in the morning.
Okay.
And this was on, what is it? Are we in June?
Yeah, we are now. Yeah.
May 21st, which was on a Tuesday.
Okay.
2020. Standing right here. In all, wet pants and all.
Oh, man. Holy moly.
Absolutely.
That is good. Close.
Yeah. Again, I described that as about 30 yards, maybe? 30, 35 yards,
put it, in there somewhere. Certainly close enough to know what you're looking at.
Yes, yes.
Wow.
I could see the eyes. I could see the hair, which was matted. The hair was kind of matted on the face. I described it as a Neanderthal person or Neanderthal man with just a lot more hair.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got the same little leathery, bumpy skin, you know, right near the nose,
right
in the nose area. But you could see the bone, kind of like the bone structure right above the eyebrow,
mm-hmm.
especially when it turned, because you're thinking, okay, that's either a well put together mask or that's a creature.
Yeah.
One of the two.
You're not, I mean, York County being what it is, you're not going to be in a costume out here. Somebody's going to shoot you.
Absolutely. And again, if it had not moved and had stayed right there, I could probably pass out, okay, you know what, that's somebody on stilts. I don't know anybody in the world that can run that fast
right.
on stilts.
Right.
You're not going to move that fast. You're not. The muscular, the texture of it, the thing was absolute monster.
Wow.
Absolute beast. So I've kind of been torn as to, do I want to see one again to validate, or, but again, I really do. But that, did I get lucky on this encounter because it had its food in its hand? You know, do I want to run across that again?
Yeah, I've never had an encounter like that. I've had an encounter with things in the woods, which I don't know what they are, right? Because I didn't see, didn't get a good look at them. And what I tell people is, like, whatever it is, I think it's capricious. You know, its mood changes on a dime. There and you never know what you're going to get. Sometimes it's like playful. Like I was camping up, there's an area called Pandemonium up in Tuscarora Forest. Mm-hmm. I was camping there. I was woken up 3 a.m. by wood knocks. Boom, boom, boom. So we were 6 miles from anywhere. There was nobody around. We walked around in the day to see what was around, just make sure there's nobody camping there. So something with hands is hitting something. Bam, bam, bam. Wakes me up. I actually had enough sense to hit record on the recorder when I woke up. So I actually have, you can hear it in the, because in stereo, you can hear one knock and you can hear it answering the other channel.
Oh,
you can
actually,
and so there's more than one thing knocking. Then they walk around, they walked around us, whatever it was, walked around the camp for the rest of the night. We were up for then, me and, it was just two of us. And in the morning, it's not a cop, is it?
I was looking, it made me wonder, like.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, if it, I think they're just turning around. Okay. In the morning, I had my pack tied to a tree. And I untied it. I hadn't gone around the back, and I swung the cord around there. It was tied up with. Mm-hmm. It was a spring. It was twisted into it. Whatever was came into our camp while we were asleep and did that. Like something with hands had to do that.
Wow.
So that was very kind of playful in a way.
Yeah.
But I've also had. I don't trust the stuff. Like I'm real careful about it. You know. What I mean, it's like people who like play with it and do gifting and stuff and leave food. I was real cautious with them. Like, you got to be careful because whatever these are, we don't know like their motives or anything.
Exactly.
Like,
they're temperamental. You don't know exactly what you're running into.
So you said the hair was all black.
Yeah, the hair was all black. You could tell that the hair on the head and right near the shoulder was just matted. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was sweat. I'm not sure what it was, but it was just like matted hair. Again, there was no smell. The only noise it made was the hitting of the fist and the snort.
Right.
And I think you had mentioned something about being able to get a sample. As you can see, there was no place for me to go around. I mean,
I could have
gone all the way around possibly.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
That would have been my first thing. Let me go down there. There's got to be a hair sample or something. But again, I was like,
Again, your county being what it is, I wouldn't. I would go down there now because it's private property and somebody's going to get.
Well, I definitely wasn't going to do that. Again, watching the way that thing moved, it wouldn't take long if I'm out there. What if it left its food down there or something?
Yeah.
Which I know it didn't because it tucked it up under its arm and just jetted.
Wow.
Again, 8.5-foot creature that runs the 40 in 2 seconds is not something I need to be around.
Yeah, yeah. Man, it's so interesting, though. It's really interesting because, like I said, when I thought it was further south, I was like, not that I didn't believe you, because I get enough reports from all over, but I was like, wow, that's a weird area.
Right.
But now that we're up here, I'm like, okay, this makes way more sense because I get, like I said, 2-3 miles that way, I get reports that way. Not that, I don't know what they are. I don't think they're a natural creature. I think there's something weirder than that. Right. That's just my opinion. I don't know. Of course, everything you saw sounds like something that would be a natural creature. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you know, it had a prey.
Exactly.
You know, it was there. Like, I have no doubt when people see him, I've talked to enough witnesses like you. But I know, I can tell by looking in your eyes, you're not lying, you're not making something up.
No.
And I've talked to enough people very similarly. I know people are seeing stuff. I know what I experienced was real. You know, I didn't make that up. I don't know. What they are, I don't know. The only, you know, but I'm very, very interested.
Well, granted,
figuring it out.
As I said before, I've never seen a bear in real life. But I'm close enough, as you can see from here, I'm close enough looking at this thing to say when it stood full tilt and was 3/4 of the way up that tree there, I knew for a fact. Unless that's a polar bear or a grizzly, there's no way that's a bear, and the arms were too long.
Right.
You know, had it had short arms, you kind of question, but this thing was full tilt, and his arms were still right there by his knees. The bottom of his fingers was still by his knees. And that's not human.
A lot of things, like, even when bears stand up, they don't have broad shoulders like we do. There's a different anatomy. They're built to run on all fours.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So this thing here, again, wide V-back, muscular, huge, Neanderthal face, speed like a gazelle on steroids, just massive. It's almost like a special type of creature, you know. You want to capture a couple of them and put them in enemy territory, you are good to go. Just say, hey, have at it. They're going to have a field day.
So what? The other fellow that was with you, was he pretty shocked too?
He was. I think, because again, he's standing here. He's like this. He's like, and I'm still standing here thinking, what did we just see? So, you know, I went to him and he said, man, I can't believe this, man. Can you believe? He kept touching me. Can you believe we? And I said, man, I'm still in awe. And he's like, that was no effing bear, man. I've been hunting snooks for such a long time. That was no bear, man. And matter of fact, one thing I didn't explain to Wes, he said, even if he had his most high powerfulest weapon, it wouldn't have touched that thing.
I don't think, yeah.
At it, I'm like, there's nothing you could have done, not from here.
Right.
And by the time you think you're going to get a good angle or get a good shot at it, it's either going to go that way or it's going to come at you. And if it's coming at you, you better hit him with that first shot. You better hit him right in the head or something with your best shot, because they're not going to find you or the gun.
That's the other thing I tell people. I wouldn't try that. I just wouldn't even try, because
you're going to piss them off. You don't want to piss them off.
Yeah, exactly.
Just put your hands up and say, hey, you know what? I don't want to.
I think that would be the best option.
Let me walk slowly this way.
Yeah. You got your space. I'm going to let you have it.
But the one thing Gary was able to do, which I explained earlier, he called the police because and I heard him talking. You know, I thought he said he was calling the county police because it was a non-emergency.
Right.
Which I thought it would have been an emergency. And was speaking to them saying, look, you guys got something out here that's huge. You might want to send somebody out here. This thing is massive, blah, blah, blah. And I don't think it took 2 minutes for the state trooper to roll up to us. And we were kind of sitting there, and I said, you know, I worked with the police department down in Georgia for 5 years, so I kind of know distinguishing marks. And when I saw that truck pull up, I said, that's a state boy. He gets out the truck.
Well, that's what I asked you on the phone, and you were very sure. You were very sure.
Without question. Yeah. Now, again, if I wasn't somewhat experienced with the logos and the different things and the uniform, when he got out, I said, as soon as he pulled up, I said, that's state. No question at all. He gets out, he comes over. The first person he went to was Gary and was saying, did you make the call? He said, yes, sir. You know, we saw something out there. It was huge. It was massive. So he took his report literally by that pole. He walks back over and goes, I'm still like this. Like, there's no way. He comes over to me. He starts to talk to me and say, could you describe in detail what you saw? And I described it just like I told you, exactly what I saw, where he was, what he did. And he said, could you give me just how big it was? And that's when I said, if you look at that tree, sir, there's a branch that's kind of towards the top, maybe 3/4 the way. I said, that's where that thing's eyebrows were.
Wow.
That's where his eyebrows were. Now, I said, give or take a couple of inches, you're still looking at 8.5, 9 foot tall. And he took his hat off and wiped his brow, and he said, so you mean to tell me this thing is about 9, 8 foot tall? I said, yes, sir. And then he said, you guys aren't from around here, are you? And I remember telling Wes, I said, I don't see where that really made a difference, whether we're here or not. And when he said that, Gary said, you know, I don't give a D. I'm from here. I'm from Lancaster, PA.
Right.
He said, I've been hunting since I was knee-high to a grasshopper. I'll never forget that statement he made because he was serious.
Right.
Red in the face. He's like, I've been hunting since I was knee-high to a grasshopper. I've never seen anything that big in the woods. Never. He said, that was no damn bear. Matter of fact, the cop had mentioned, yeah, we have had quite a few sightings of bears around here. And I remember looking at Gary, and he looked at me. We were like, that wasn't no bear, man. I know what a bear looks like. I've never run into one. I've seen one on TV. That was no bear, man. Not unless you're talking about something
now,
prophecy-wise.
Oftentimes, I've talked to some police about this.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes, they will either put down bear on the report, no matter what people tell them.
Yep.
Or they won't file the report. And the reason why, they said, is, look, this is our career. Mm-hmm. We can't have weird stuff. You know, like, we just don't want to have to explain it to our superiors.
Exactly.
So even though people tell us, which made a lot of sense to me, because I thought it was like some kind of conspiracy before, you know, like, because a lot of these reports disappear.
Right.
That made more sense to me when the guy explained it that to me that way. But it's very odd that he was here that quickly.
2 minutes, I'm thinking.
Yeah, that's very odd.
I heard what he told him. You know, he was panicky, but he wasn't saying he was being attacked. It was nothing like that. He just said, hey, you need to send somebody out here, man. There's something huge. There's something massive running in these woods. He said, it's some type of monster out here. You need to send someone out here. And I'm talking, not even 2 minutes later, this guy comes flying up. And I'm like, okay, this is kind of different. I didn't expect that quick of a response, especially from a state boy as opposed to a county. It's like,
right,
county police officer is not too far from here. Yeah. Why would they not? So, again.
Well, that and then your story about the Maryland state showing up at your place.
Which was the oddest thing, because this was about 30 minutes after I got off the phone with Wes. And I'm trying to think, when did I spoke with him? The early part of last week. And this, get a knock on the door. And I think I had described it. It was like maybe 25, 30 minutes, because I remember putting the pizza in. Put a pizza in. It was coming out 25 minutes later. He comes to the door, and I'm thinking, I look through the people, and I see the state trooper, and I'm thinking, oh, man, I hope everything's okay. The first thing you're thinking about with this COVID stuff is,
right.
Oh, my God, I hope my parents are okay. I open the door, and he says, oh, how are you? Is your name, you know, Scott? I said, yes, sir. He's like, okay, well, we're just doing a little welfare check to make sure everything's okay. And I said, why did someone call? He said, no, you know, because of the virus that's going around, you know, we're checking on individuals within the area to make sure everything is good. And I said, okay, well, I'm good. He said, all right, well, Scott, you have a good day. I watched him out the peephole. I went to my window. I looked. He went straight to his car and left the complex. I'm on the third floor. And I'm the first. When you pull into the complex, we're the first building. So are you saying you went all the way around and checked everybody's building? Then you came to me last on the third floor?
Yeah, that seems.
And decided to leave?
That just seems weird.
I said, I'm not saying conspiracy theory, or conspiracy theorists, but that just didn't seem. Why are you checking on my welfare unless someone called? I don't understand.
Yeah.
I wasn't getting any sleep. My eating habits were messed up. Whenever I would close my eyes, I'd see the Neanderthal on a 9-foot monster. I couldn't get my bearings. I lay down for 30 minutes. I get up, I'm staying up for 5-6 hours.
You know,
I had to call in to work. I couldn't go to work, you know, especially if they were going to send me here.
Right.
So, and of course.
I know you said the other day when you thought they were going to send you up here, you weren't looking forward to it.
No, I wasn't, because I was a little, even driving up here, I had my friend come with me because I said, she kept asking me, are you okay? And I'm reliving the moment.
Sure.
And when I got here, you know, keep in mind, I went to 238 first.
Uh-huh.
And I said, it was 238. I said, well, something is wrong. So I said, you know what? Let me just go up here and check this last, what was it? 832, what, 382, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Let me just go up there and check that. And as I turned, I'm looking, I'm like, it doesn't look familiar. And I remember seeing that building, that gray building.
Right.
Which was something that, as I was driving, that was one of the things I looked at, like, look like it has a steeple, but it's not a church. You know how you just kind of look at things?
Yeah, yeah. Sure.
And I just looked there and looked down and saw the, whatever that black thing was. Well, at the time, sitting by the tree. So that's how, as I was coming this way and I saw that, she was like, are you okay? I was like, yeah. So I pulled over just to kind of, you know, compose myself. When I turned around, that's when I had sent you the message saying, okay, I'm here,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then I got out, I walked over and I looked and it just reliving everything. I'm looking for something to see if anything's going to be peeping up at
right,
me.
Right, yeah.
Know? I was like, did it come back? You know, is this a eating grounds for them or something?
I think I probably told you when we talked. I got attacked by a rabid raccoon. I was hiking with my son. I had to kill it with my walking stick. And that was just a natural raccoon. And that messed me up for hiking for
there
a long time.
There
I'm looking like, I'm just now getting to the part where I'm like relaxed when I'm hiking again. It messed me up for, you know, almost 2 years. But no, I get that. I mean, to me, I think it would be even more like, whoa, you know, because that's so much more unusual, you know, so weird.
And I think the way I tried to explain it is that, you know, I don't know a whole lot about life and the human body, but certain things in life, I don't think you're equipped to see or you're supposed
mm-hmm.
to see.
Mm-hmm.
So upon seeing something like that, you're trying to ask yourself, did I see this? Did I not see this? What's going on? Your brain is like, okay, let me send all of these different things to you because you're not supposed to be seeing something
right.
like this.
And the further you get away from it, the more your brain tries to reason like, maybe
exactly.
it was, maybe I didn't see what I saw.
Exactly.
Maybe I didn't see what I saw.
Exactly. And again, had that thing never moved and had just been standing there, I would have eased my way to the truck saying, okay, even if that is somebody that's crazy enough to be out there in the weeds, I don't want to meet that person anyway.
Sure, right.
You know, so let me just get to my truck. But again, when that thing moved, it told me everything I needed to know. That's not natural. The movement is not natural of this thing. The way it dropped down like a transformer is not natural. That's not something I think I described it as a 8.5-9-foot spider. The
right.
way it moved, just creepy and methodical, and then gets up to go from moving methodical and slow, like you're trying to sneak through the weeds so we don't see you. Then all of a sudden you're just saying, well, you know what, they're not leaving. Let me just run. and then you get on your hoverboard right. and just glide away at jet speed.
Wow.
That's unnatural. Nothing is supposed to move like that. Nothing human. Anyway, yeah. You know?
We'll get back to our on-site discussion with Scott in a moment. 90 days to the perfect puppy can help you if you're having puppy problems. Whether you need help with a barking puppy, if your puppy's chewing on things it shouldn't be chewing on, if you need help with crate training, hyperactivity issues, leash training, potty training, whatever you need help with, 90 days to the perfect puppy can help you develop the perfect relationship with your puppy. They have online sources like video lessons, a secret Facebook group where you can interact with other people who are also raising perfect puppies. They have one-on-one options available with Tina and the 90 Days to the Perfect Puppy staff. You can find them at sithappens.us. Look for the 90 Days to the Perfect Puppy link at the top of the page. 90 Days to the Perfect Puppy can help you understand how your dog thinks and apply proactive training methods so you and your puppy can become perfect for each other. They'll teach you what to do, but also, and perhaps more importantly, what not to do. 90 Days to the Perfect Puppy. Again, you can find them at sithappens.us. Look for the 90 Days to the Perfect Puppy link at the top of the page.
Now, I do find it very interesting that you said you used to do some paranormal investigations.
Yeah, I dabbled with it, in South Georgia. When I was with the police department, I dabbled with a group, Southern Ghost Hunters. Did that for a few years and was able to go through, different events. And then the other group that I dealt with is Bellwood Paranormal out of New Jersey. Mm-hmm. The founder, God rest his soul, he passed away a few months ago. And so I'm not sure exactly what's going on with the group. But during that time, the man taught me literally. I learned a lot from South Georgia, don't get me wrong. But Richard Higgins, he helped me. He taught me almost everything I know. Everything. When I was in Southern Ghost Hunters, nothing down against them. But my whole thing was, oh, the cabinet's moved. It's haunted. Oh, my God. You guys are haunted. What's going on? My whole mindset changed when I got to Bellwood Paranormal because they used the word debunk. I had never even heard the word debunk, which I'm sure if you're familiar with the paranormal world, you're going into a situation to make to show that it's not haunted. That's your number one. Okay, is it the wind that's making these cabinets move? Is it somebody that's in the background making a woo noise, sound like a ghost? What's going on?
Right.
So he taught me everything, and I learned so much from this guy and this group of beautiful people. I learned so much.
Do you have any really weird experiences ever doing that?
Actually, yeah. I think the weirdest one, which kind of got me more involved, is I don't know all of the location. I do know it was in New Jersey. One of the members of our group, let's just go with his first name. His name was Fred, and at the time, it was his great grandfather's property that we were actually. We were actually investigating. Yes. Mm-hmm. So he contacted us to say, hey, you know what? I dabble with it a little bit. There's some weird things going on. Did you hear that?
I did.
Or was it me? Okay.
No,
I just, whenever I hear that, I'm kind of like, okay, let me look around. Fred had said he dabbled with the paranormal, but there were some things going on that he couldn't quite understand. So he contacted us, our group. Richard went in first, which is what you're supposed to do. He went in, he interviewed, and didn't tell us anything. Mm-hmm. He didn't come back and say, here's what we're looking for.
Right.
He knew what was going on. So therefore, if we actually run into something, we can go to him and say, man, I just heard this song playing. And he'll be like, boom, that's what the customer told us.
Right.
So to me, I thought that was the best way. It just made a lot of sense. Long story short, his great-grandfather's, I guess this would be his great-great-great daughter, granddaughter possibly, she was dating an African-American man. At the time, we didn't know that. They were just complaining about, whenever me and my boyfriend were going to the barn, for whatever reason, we didn't get the details. Whenever we were going to the barn, tools would be knocked off the wall, doors were flying open, and we're saying, you sure it's not the wind? It wouldn't be the wind. No, there was no wind. We'd go in the middle of the night. We'd have to run out of there, blah, blah, blah. So Fred saying, he went in there with his monitor, nothing ever went on. So when we went in, key piece of evidence, we found out that she was dating an African-American man. The great-grandfather, great-great-grandfather was a slave owner. So we started putting two and two together, and naturally they all look at me like I'm a piece of meat now. Like, hey, Roland, you want to go in here? So I'm all, hey, let me put my gloves on, my shoes on, I'm ready to go. So we actually went into the barn. We started our little investigation mode, started looking around, doing different things. Me, I was walking with another gentleman. I'm walking up the stairs, and there was an initial, what I thought, it felt like a bee sting, you know, in my lower back. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, yeah, you know, what was that? I was like, okay, you know, you got to kind of shake it off because you figure if it's a bee sting, you got it. If it's a bee back there, right, you knocked it off. I took about two more steps, I'm halfway up the stairs, and another one, a little more intense. And I said, oh, okay, wait a minute. I said, oh my God, man, I must have had some bees in me, some bugs in me. Within seconds, I take my third step, and it's like fire. Like my back is on absolute fire. I drop down to my knees, and the guy say, are you okay? And I'm like, no, something's in my back. Something's on me. I got some termites and some bugs. Something's on my back. So he goes to pull me out, and I'm almost in tears because this is like just excruciating pain. So as I'm going out of the barn, the gentleman's calling Rich. Hey, Rich, man, something's going on. We don't understand. I think, you know, you got some bees. I'm like, look, just get this damn shirt off of me and get this stuff off. As they go to pull up my shirt, my phone is in my car. I'm going to show you that before I leave. Okay. There are whelps from the bottom portion of my back to the top. And I mean, they're all over my back. Wow. What we initially thought were bee stings can only be explained as possible whip marks.
Wow.
That's the only thing. And I'm looking at this. They didn't show me. They didn't want to say anything. They were right. Like, man, it looks like you just had some hives.
Yeah.
I said, hives don't feel like this. I know I've had hives. Yeah. Hives don't stink. And I mean, so they're taking cream and putting it over it. It's not going anywhere. You know, I'm like, oh my God, I don't, you know, they said, you want to go back in? I said, not till my back heals up, man. This
right.
It's too painful. I don't know what happened. So come to find out, that's what we actually thought, because we went back in and started asking questions. You know, we got a couple of responses, you know, EVP, a couple of, you know, and one of the weird part, which I never even said anything, you know, earlier about this. One of the weird things, when we started doing the investigation at night, we started doing some EVPs, and we started asking questions like, can you tell us why you're upset? Or is there anything you would like us to, right, to pass on to your loved one? Blah, blah, blah. If I find that EVP, I promise you I'm going to send it to you. We asked him three or four times, is there anything you would like us to say? Is there anything you want to tell us? And very faintly, you can hear, black man.
Wow.
That's all we heard. We were like, did you hear what?
Wow.
I mean, we played it three or four times. It's clear. It says black man. That's all we heard. So again, we're putting two and two together, saying, I'm the only black guy in the group. You know, I come in here, I'm doing my investigations. I'm the only one that got attacked.
Wow.
I'm the only one that has, which they showed me later, whip marks. You can see it's like three prongs all the way back. Not four, three.
Yeah, that's not a bug.
And no.
Yeah.
And back in the day, which I found out, do some, you know, a little bit of research, that the whips that they used to use for their slaves had the three prongs on them, because they couldn't use the four prongs unless you were an absolute runaway, or for example, you may have run away and got damaged or gotten bit by a dog or something. Uh-huh. You're damaged goods. So what we're going to do, we're going to make an example out of you, and we're going to whip the flesh off of your back. You have the four whips was for whipping the flesh off the back. You had the three whips, which was punishment.
Wow.
I had punishment marks. I didn't have the four. If you count them, it's three. And it's, again, they were all over my back from the top down to here. So again, remind me to show you that picture. Yeah. Again, I got it on my phone, or I can send it to you, however you want me to do it. But I keep that as a reminder to say, okay, I was a believer before, but when something physically happens to you, you become a, wait a minute, okay, I'm a firm believer now.
Right.
So, but again, after that happened, you couldn't pull me out of the investigation. I said, if you guys want to use me, you want to whatever, I'll put some slave clothes on, whatever you want me to do from this point on, I will do it. I loved it. So again, I loved it then, I love it now, you know.
Yeah. When you were doing those EVPs, this is just for my curiosity, did you use one of those ghost boxes, or are you just recording?
Like? No, we were old school. We believe in having two groups. one on one side, whether it be north, east, or west, and another one on the other side, so we don't contaminate each other's evidence or, or voices or whatever the case
may
be.
Right, yeah, sure.
So this was basically a recorder. That's all we use. We use recorders. We use the, of course, I won't be able to remember all of the names of these things.
Right, right.
But a lot of things that indicated if something walked through a light.
Sure, yeah.
Is there.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name of it.
No, my friend Rick has all that stuff, all that gear, yeah.
A bunch of dots and stuff that's on the wall.
Yeah, he has that stuff. Yeah, yeah. I don't know what they're called either.
And I have no idea, but we set all of that up. So that was basic, old school, let's sit down in a group. Each person, you raise your hand before you want to make a question so we don't contaminate each other.
Uh-huh.
Raise your hand. Okay, you got the next question. Hey, are there any lights? Or who was the president when you were here? Or what's your mother's name?
Right, and just see if anything.
To see what comes up. Because, again, nothing against anyone that uses the voice box or whatever those things are called. I'm not a fan of that because the first thing you want to do, you know, if you're asking questions and a random name comes up, it's really not telling you anything. You're still blind. You still have no idea if that's legit or not.
Right.
But if you are going and you have a voice recorder, you start asking questions and nobody in your group is talking, that's kind of, to me, that's proof.
Oh, yeah. That carries more weight.
It carries a lot more weight.
I think, and I use a ghost box sometimes, but I think you can influence that. Like
that's
yourself.
What I'm saying.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's already contaminated.
Yeah.
Because you're already...
So,
okay, you know.
For me, it's more of an interesting thing where, like, I'm putting myself in a place that's haunted or spooky or something and seeing what happens as opposed to looking for those. But, like, what you're talking about, I think that's, like, pure kind of EVP.
It's
you know?
Old school. You know, and a lot of people, you know, they want to use technology, which, again, to each his own, I have no problem with that.
Right.
I would never throw anyone under the bus for investigating the way you want to investigate.
Sure, yeah.
Me, personally... I like old school. Let me get some dowsing rods when I'm not near any water. Let me get some dowsing rods to see if I get some movement. Once I get some movement, let me put my recorders down here.
You know,
let me do all the old school stuff, and that way, if I take a quarter, which is what we used to use a lot, a quarter, a ball, a doll, and we set this down and say, look, we're not going to talk to you as though you are an alien. I'm not going to be, okay, could you make a note? That's not how we talk. If you don't talk to the original person that way, why would you talk to a ghost that way?
Right.
We're gonna or a spirit or whatever.
Right. Sure.
We're gonna try to communicate like we're talking right now. Hey, my name is Roland. It's a pleasure to meet you. Listen, if you could tell me what you think about this doll. You know, my son's been playing with this doll. He said it's a piece of crap. Tell us what you think. You know, we're gonna go out. We're gonna lie. If we come back and that doll is moved by any way, shape, or form,
right.
We know that we were able to communicate this thing. Now
right.
We put our recorders down. Whether it be money. Whether it be a phone, because if you're talking of spirits, people who have been dead for centuries or dead for years, they look at this thing, they don't know what it is.
Right.
But if they come close to it, if you come close to it, your energy is going to allow it to move. You know, your energy, it's kind of loud. But their curiosity, you know, if they're that powerful, they're not things off the walls and so forth and so on, they're going to look at this doll. They're going to be like, I've never seen anything like this. They're going to look at the phone. We put the, what are those things called that has lights on? Well, you set it down and it goes off. And
I know what you mean. Yeah.
We don't hold those because, you know, you have a tendency to kind of squeeze and make the monitor go off. We set those down. So when it moves, there's no electricity or anything around. Now we have something to build on. Not only did it touch a dog, not only did the lights come on, now we have a faint hello or get out or my name or it stops right there. It didn't have enough energy to say my name is so-and-so.
Right.
So
right.
It only gets to a certain point. To me, that's proof. I don't
mean
it.
There's something going on.
You know,
sure.
There's something going on here.
Yeah.
Know? My only fear in life is spiders.
Okay.
I had a tarantula thrown on me when I was young. I was a delivery driver.
Uh-huh.
Just a real quick story. I was delivering pizzas to this one house, and I go to the house, and the mom says, I'll be right back. So I'm standing in the door with the door open. A little girl comes down. She's about 8 years old. She says, you want to see what I got? So, of course, you want to be sure. You
yeah,
know,
right. Sure, yeah.
So she brings down three bags. The first bag she has, it's like a gerbil. It's the bigger of the two, I think. It's like a big gerbil.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, yeah, okay, what do you name it? Blah, blah, blah. She gave me the name. She put it back. Then she pulls out this little, I guess it was a hamster.
Okay.
Which was smaller. And she's like, well, yeah, you know, this is so-and-so. And she hold them back up. I'm like, that's nice. Then she said, you want to see what else I got? I'm like, sure. So as I'm bending down, all I see is this.
Oh.
And I felt, that's what I felt.
Oh.
And she's laughing just like you. And I'm
oh,
like,
oh, man.
I'm like, what? What's wrong? And I went to look down, and it was a brown tarantula.
Oof.
And when I went down, it hit like my face. And in one motion, I was like, ah.
Oh, wow.
Threw it up against the house, and, you know, they got, I left the pizza, I left everything right there.
I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing at the situation.
No, I'm laughing at me now because it's funny now, but of course, I look around and make sure. But I went back to the job, and they called and said, hey, you know, we're going to sue. That's a $250 spot. I don't care.
Yeah, you threw it on me, right?
Now, this wasn't no ordinary tarantula. This was a bird eating.
Oh, yeah, no.
Thing the size of a dinner plate.
My friend had one of those. I was like, nope.
Dude, when she threw that out, I looked for her today. I said, if I see you, I'm going to shake you. But so ever since then, I was never able to get over that. So I can't look at them on a book, TV, nothing. I don't deal with tarantulas at all.
Right,
no way,
sure,
shape, or form. So other than that, I mean, I don't like snakes either, but still, I don't want
to. I'll stomp on spiders. You take on the raccoons. We'll be all right.
Oh, there you go. That sounds like a tag team. I can definitely do that. No problem.
Again, this is a weird thing with Bigfoot things. People say once you see one, you might have seen them again go up. I don't know why, and I don't know if you want to hear that.
No, because again, I'm kind of straddling the railing here to say, yeah, you know what? I had problems sleeping. I had problems eating, but will that end with my first encounter? Maybe that's just something, the initial, just like if you see anything else, if you see someone, you know, God forbid, if you see someone take someone's life or you see someone, you know, die, it's going to do something to you. When you see that again, you might be like, oh, okay, I feel bad. When you're talking about a Sasquatch, if in fact that's what that was, again, I can't think of anything else that would have been.
Right, right.
If in fact that was a Sasquatch and that's what I saw, I'm okay. I think I'm going to be okay and seeing it. I think I'll be able to sleep and, you know, maybe eat some Doritos or something.
Yeah.
I think I'll be okay. So, looking forward to it.
I took a friend's girlfriend wanted to come with us on a hike, and I was telling her, I said, thing about this, and I've been into some scary stuff, I said, it's only ever touched me once. And it's kind of a little bit similar to your story. I was hiking with three guys, a Bigfoot witness and my investigation partner and me. Mm-hmm. My partner was up front. I was in the middle. The witness was behind me. We were coming down a hill. He showed us where he had seen all this Bigfoot activity and stuff. Dead of night. I'm wearing a pack with a bunch of equipment in it. I can feel, like, if you can imagine a hand grabbing the material of that pack where you can kind of feel it gather and feel the straps, mm-hmm, and yank down, like, pull me like that. I thought it was the guy behind me. I turned around mad at him, like, yeah, ready to say, don't do that.
Right,
like,
right.
I've got MS. I can fall down easy, you know?
Right.
And he's 8 feet behind me rolling a cigarette. It wasn't him. Now, I don't think a big hairy hand came out of the bush and did that, but I think it's like whatever happens on ghost investigations where people get poked or grabbed and stuff. So
definitely happens.
Somehow this stuff is related. I don't know how. I mean, that's just my feeling. I think it's somehow related. I've used those ghost boxes in, actually not far from here, there's a park where I found a bunch of weird tree structures and stuff. I've actually used those ghost boxes in tree structures and gotten replies,
really?
Yeah, okay. That makes sense, because I sat there and I said, what is the purpose of these things? Mm-hmm. I asked a bunch of questions, but that was the only question I got a clear response to all day, and it said spiritual. It came back right away.
There you go.
Spiritual. So that made me think, like, is that some kind of totem for them, or is that some kind of, like, religious marker, or does that mark out sacred space? I don't know, but It was the only clear response I got out of it. Now, again, it could be nothing. But
again, it could be something.
Yeah, yeah.
I would love to get to the bottom of it to find out exactly, again, what I saw, what it is, how is this linked? Is it linked to anything? Is this Nephilim? Is this UFO? What exactly is this phenomenon that we call Sasquatch and Bigfoot? What exactly is it? I would love to find that out.
Yeah.
I don't know if we ever will.
No.
Not in our lifetime.
That's what I said. I decided some time ago, I'm probably not going to figure it out. You're probably not going to figure it out. But it's interesting looking into it, and it's very, very compelling. Thank you so much.
Oh, absolutely. For this. I appreciate you talking with me, man. I don't mind. I really appreciate that.
Last week we did our cave show.
We did.
And then we did a patron show. for our patrons based on the area around the Swatara Creek there and Indian Echo Caverns. We talked about the weird stuff, and I dug up a pretty cool article about a possible flannel man, the headless woodchopper, and a whole bunch of other neat articles in the area. And that was a patron episode. Some people ask sometimes, you know, why did the numbers skip? Why didn't the numbers go? Well, those are patron episodes. And if you want to get every episode of Strange Familiars and you want to help us make the podcast, you can become a patron too at Patreon. It's patreon.com/strangefamiliars. $3 a month gets you full extra episodes of Strange Familiars. We do at least one every month. Often we do more. There are other levels of support at Patreon. You can go check them all out at patreon.com/strangefamiliars. You can get things like t-shirts, copies of my books, art, stickers, and pins, and more. Again, that's patreon.com/strangefamiliars. If you want to help and you don't like the idea of a monthly subscription like Patreon, you can do a one-time PayPal donation. Go to strangefamiliars.com, look under the show notes for the paypal.me link. You can click that, and that'll take you to PayPal where you can make a one-time donation. Everyone can help by sharing the show on social media, by liking and subscribing wherever you're listening, whatever podcatcher you use, and by leaving us those nice 5-star reviews, which help get the show in front of new potential listeners. To photo of the week. You're going to have to explain what a Neptune party is.
Well, basically, like, sort of like a passion play for the mermaid set. They used to have these, like, sort of elaborate theatrical productions, like, on the beach.
So this is a seaside sort of pageant?
Yeah, where they, like, crown, like, kind of like the king of the sea, and so people would dress up in these elaborate costumes that were frequently sea-themed. Like, I had one before that had a big sign that said it was like an anti-landlubbers Neptune party. This one, I think this is the king and queen of the Neptune party. There's a skull in the background, and he's wearing a long white beard and a crown. He looks a little bit like the Ice King.
Yeah,
he looks a lot like the Ice King.
Yeah, looks like the Ice King from Adventure Time. What year would you put this photo in?
That's silver gelatin, so maybe teens, probably.
What's the skull? Oh, is that like a pirate theme?
Yeah. Okay. So these are curtains, and there's more than one skull and crossbones on the curtain. They always have like fantastic little skulls or mermen or seashell themed things. And
very, very cool. I can't imagine there's a ton of Neptune party photos out there.
Mm-hmm. You can have a Neptune party tonight.
If you go to the show notes under this episode, there'll be an image of this photo. You can click on that. It'll take you to our Etsy shop where you can purchase this Neptune party photo for $50. Mm-hmm. While you're at our Etsy shop, check out all the artwork I put up over the past few days. Lots of stuff from my fourth book, Don't Look Behind You. The good news is there's smaller pieces there, so people can get some artwork for, you know, relatively cheaper. And then there's more expensive pieces as well. It's Etsy shop name Lost Grave. You can also find it in the show notes. If you support our Etsy shop, it helps support the podcast as well. It's all one big pot. It all goes together. So thanks everybody who's been very supportive. The photos of the week have been doing well. And I've been selling some artwork as well. So thanks everybody for all the support. And thank you for listening. We'll be back soon with more Strange Familiars. Strange Familiars is a production of Dark Holler Arts, music, books, art, podcasts, and more, darkhollerarts.com. Intro and background music is by Stone Breath. Go to stonebreath.bandcamp.com for more. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/strangefamiliars, where you can also join the Strange Familiars Gathering group, and we are on Instagram @strangefamiliars.
of the graves of fallen kings. They wave their little broken wings, speak of long forgotten things. Listen to the dead bird's song.
Out there.